I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
There are a few where you think, oh, why did you do that?
I kind of wish we did it in a couple of other rooms, to be honest. I quite like it.
But then, it wasn't really a big thing.
No,
then,
all
was
of a sudden,
it?
Wasn't yeah. it? Yeah, yeah, because so, we like, did it.
Yeah, that's why.
No, I remember when he said to me, oh, in the office, we're going to drench it. I was like, what is this?
Even decorators still are like, sorry, what are you doing? They're like, no, just do as you're told.
Just don't turn on the big light.
Yeah. I'm not allowed to turn on the big light.
The big light just needs to look nice.
Yeah.
You know, a nice big pendant, but you don't actually need to put it on.
What's your best advice for making a home both stylish and kid-friendly?
It's really difficult. Feature walls, no anymore, guys.
Okay,
no
right,
more feature walls.
No more. I don't know what I want, but I know what I don't want.
Yeah.
It's like being married.
Yeah.
It's exactly that.
Yeah, that's it.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome back to our podcast, What They Don't Tell You.
But We Will.
Yes. And today we are joined by Abby from Ginge Nest Interiors. She's an interior designer known for creating stylish, practical spaces that work beautifully in busy family homes. From kids' rooms that grow with you to clever storage hacks, Abby is here to discuss her expert tips and no-nonsense advice. She has helped so many families, a few celebs, and us as well. She has helped us design all of our kids' rooms. Actually, a lot of rooms in our house. So we're so excited to have you here. Welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course.
Welcome to the home that you designed.
Yeah. It feels nice to be here. Looks exactly the same.
Yeah, we tried. Cleaned it this morning.
Yeah. So we've got so many questions for you.
Yeah.
But first off, should we just say, who are you? How did you get into this?
Yeah.
Bit of background.
So I'm Abby. I'm an interior designer and I have two boys. Mm-hmm. I'm a mum of two boys, should I say. Louis is nearly 10 and Max is 8. And yeah, I've got a virtual interior design company called Ginger Nest Interiors. So we create designs for clients worldwide. It's all virtual. And yeah, we've been running now for nearly 6 years on the kids' side. Oh. And then about 2 years later, we naturally progressed into the home side as well. So we can do any room in the house, whether it's your kitchen, bathroom, any project, big or small as well, if it's a full home renovation, a new build, or just finishing off your space, we can help.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Even the garden, right?
And the garden, yeah.
Yeah,
the garden's included.
Yeah. But so did you move into the kids' room space because you were a mum and it was more on your mind?
Yeah, I just felt that there was a bit of a gap in the market for virtual interiors and specifically children's. Mm-hmm. So I kind of jumped on board with that. And yeah, that's where it kind of started, really. But I think the kids' ones are just so fun and playful.
Yeah.
And you can really like delve into your inner child yourself. And then you can, be really playful and creative. And so that's kind of where it started. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you were working with a client, maybe us, I don't know. And they're like, oh, I have this in mind.
Yeah.
Or this is the inspiration.
Yeah.
And you personally don't really like it. How do you deal with that?
I think if you have that natural eye for design, I think you can naturally just adapt to what the client needs from you. The rules, if you like, remain the same. So you're looking at proportions of things and heights of things and what colours work with what other colours. So I think you just naturally have to, or you can just give them what they want.
Yeah.
You might guide them through it a little bit as well. You might think, well, you think you want this big bright piece here, but actually that's not going to work. So we're going to kind of
tell them in a nice
guide them, guide them through it in a different way.
That you could have that, but you could have this. Yeah, in my opinion,
this might be a little bit better, but you're still going to get the same kind of design look. Yeah,
What are the common mistakes you think people make when, I guess, designing themselves as opposed to using someone like yourself?
Yeah, there are a few where you think, oh, why did you do that? But generally, the one thing that is my biggest peeve is the hanging artwork too high.
Okay.
Right.
So my general rule is that about 160 centimetres from the floor should be the center of a piece of art.
Okay.
Depending on what's going on. I mean, if you've got a gallery wall or if this piece is massive, the general rule, if you've just got a standard framed poster, then don't hang it too high so it like looks like it's about to hit the ceiling. And another thing that I really don't like is curtains that are windowsill height. Full length curtains are so much nicer because they add height to your room and they take your eye up and they add softness to windows. So doing the half height, it's a big no-no. Cuts the room in half.
I wouldn't even know that, though. I would never even think
of
that.
A lot of people do it because there's generally a radiator under a window.
Right.
So they feel that if they cover that up, they're going to lose the heat. Mm-hmm. But you kind of, you only shut your curtains at the end of the day.
And you turn the heating off.
Exactly. Your heating's going to go off after a couple of hours anyway. So it's not going to affect anything. So, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
They're my two.
Yeah. And are there any trends at the moment that you really love?
I feel like everyone's getting quite brave actually with like a bit more muted, bold, rich colours like reds, greens, blues, lots of pattern. Mm-hmm. That's definitely becoming more in. Mm. And colour drenching, I'm sure lots of people have heard of this, but it's basically where you get one paint colour and you paint everything that colour. So ceilings, the walls, skirting boards, even the architraves around your doors and the door itself. It just makes the room feel so much bigger.
Yeah.
Rather than having, you know, a feature wall, just one wall painted, you're not wrapping the room. So it just makes it feel a lot smaller and a bit too broken up. So that's, definitely.
Yeah, we've done that in the office. And,
yeah, we did that in our office.
I kind of wish we did it in a couple of other rooms, to be honest. I quite like it. But then,
it wasn't really a big thing.
No,
then,
all of a sudden,
it?
Wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's blown up because we did it.
Yeah, that's why. But things like in your living room, because your walls are lighter and the skirting's white, you can't see it so much.
You don't
much.
Notice, yeah.
But if you're going for like a nice, deep blue on the walls and your skirting's white.
Well, now I really noticed that. If you look at a room that's dark, navy walls, and they've got white skirting or white, it just really sticks out.
It's so funny because it was such a popular thing to
do. Yeah, now it's almost like an eyesore. Yeah. It's like, what have you that's not painted skirting? Emmy's like, what are you talking about?
No. I remember when he said to me, oh, in the office, we're going to drench it. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
But it really does
it
work.
It does make a
with
difference.
The ceiling
yeah.
and everything.
People, even decorators still are like, sorry, what are you doing?
Like, oh,
like, no, just do as you're told.
Here's the paint.
Don't ask questions.
Just get on with it.
Yeah.
So let's talk kids' rooms, which is obviously how we found you as well. What's your biggest bits of advice if designing a kid's bedroom?
I think the layout is always key for kids' rooms because you want it to function well for everyday use. I think that we really do play around with the layout of kids' rooms a lot before we actually physically get any pieces of furniture in. You want things to be a nice height for the kids as well, that they're easily accessible. You know, if they've got toys in their room, then you want them to be able to pull the bottom drawer out and get the teddies out. The same in playrooms. I mean, they're much harder than bedrooms. But
what
Legos
to design,
are,
you mean?
You're zoning more in playrooms because you've got, you know, you want to have a creative area, maybe a quiet reading corner. Generally, you'd have some seating because there might be a telly in there.
Yeah.
And fitted furniture as well is always a good one, if you can, because you're utilising so much more of the space. And then you add the playful bits through the accessories.
Accessories, yeah.
Yeah, Yeah. Some of the accessories you got in our boys' rooms, we just loved them so much. Yeah. Like in Jackson's, we had a canopy in the corner, yeah, like lovely. A reading corner. And then even we were like, oh, get a hanging plant because it draws your eye up. Like there's so many things like that that you can just don't think about.
And the
about.
Shelves, like the bookshelves that are a bit lower so they can just pick their book at night.
Yeah, that's right. It's so nice that they can access it. Because obviously as they're getting older, you want them to be able to like, choose a story.
Yeah.
Choose a...
Lighting as well actually plays a massive part in kids' rooms because especially nurseries because if your baby's having a nap, you don't want to go in and wake them up with a bright light. So we'll always try and incorporate a floor lamp or a little wall light by a reading corner or something. So then you can just gently put that on or at night when they're going to sleep, you know, put that on so it's not bright light in your face. Yeah,
we talked about that. Yeah, about as kids sleep, didn't we? Saying about actually lighting is really important as opposed to...
Yeah, there's so many things out there as well, isn't there, that say like they shouldn't have white light and the blue light obviously from phones as well it's better to have red light and loads of different
but they're saying that the actual lighting and daylight is more important than the screen like we're so obsessed
like the
about
lighting
it being the screen.
In your home right. So just like turning all that down just helps doesn't
low
it
level
like, with
lighting.
The relaxing
exactly.
Just don't turn on the big light
I'm not allowed to turn on the big light
the big light just needs to look nice a nice big pendant but you don't actually need to put it on
but it's like the whole spotlight thing right as well like it's like you see so many spotlights and we overdid it and even you said and we cut it back and you start I still think you've got too many and we just don't use those overhead spotlights it's literally just the mood lighting of
Bill
the night
just time. Love putting them in it's I don't know what it is just like chuck them all in there
funny,
like, no less it'll be fine don't worry about it
it's so true it is fine with just a few lights but and have you got any tips for obviously once you do a child's room you don't want to keep doing it every few years so have you got any tips to sort of like give it that longevity or anything I don't know that they can grow with.
Yeah. I think generally from our point of view, we tend to like the backdrop, as I call it, the more substantial items that you're spending the money on, wardrobes, chest of drawers, even the bed in some instances, if the kid's a little bit older, we tend to avoid it being from a children's company and like just come from a normal furniture shop because then that's going to last for a long time.
Yeah.
And then you can start adding the childlike playful elements through the accessories because then that can change you know it's posters you can change them all the time kids adapt don't they and they consistently changing what they're interested in
totally.
So one minute they're loving Spider-Man and cars and the next minute they're actually wanting a football bedroom at least then if you've got the backdrop like even wallpaper that doesn't need to be childish it can be like a night well Jackson's bedroom it's a nice geometric wallpaper that you add to it. So then when you've taken out the accessories and changed his animal poster
bed
to
in.
His football one, then you're growing with him. So, but everything else still fits in the room for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm going to chuck a question in here.
That's really good advice.
high street, but what home brands do you think are like really nailing it right now for kids' bedrooms and for just general interiors?
It's mad. I think the high street shops are really coming up. Like they're really thinking about it a lot more. Next. And it's affordable.
Yeah, H&M.
Next, H&M, Dunelm.
Yeah.
Some of them, they have got a higher end pricing like
I don't think H&M is actually that cheap is it
no
for a lot
Zara
of stuff?
Home as well is it's still quite expensive but like Dunelm their quality is going up also so you still might be paying £650 for a coffee table but that's still far less than Soho Home that you're paying thousands and you're still and I think they're also catching on to kind of like not copying but they're
Trends.
Like I mean, Dunelm used to be like lowest of lows, and now they're not at all. They've really like upped their game.
No, we often look on there for stuff. Yeah, sort of thing. Go there first, really, before
anywhere else
before going on eBay.
Amazon. Anytime we show like anything from H&M Home, like the vases we have, like, people are always like, "Where's that from?" You're like, it's just H&M.
I know.
Yeah, it's really good.
And Next have a premium range now as well, which is very Soho Home vibe. But you're still paying money for it, but it's just not as much.
Because you always wonder if it's an age thing, don't you? It's like when you start getting into them and it's clothing. It's like, have they up their trends or is it
we're
just because we're getting older?
It's so true.
Exactly I think it's my mum that said that to me. She went, hate to tell you, but you just get to an age where M&S is something
new. M&S
is
up in their game.
Right?
We'll just tell ourselves that. It's fine.
Yeah.
We're not too old to wear it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
How do you approach children's storage in their room? So especially if they've got like a load of toys, like the clothes. I know you've touched on it about fitted storage, but obviously if you can't have that, like what are the tips?
I think that, if you can't have bespoke furniture, which we'd still always try and delve into because you're using all the space. But we would just add like baskets dotted around the room. Underbed storage is also very good. Making sure you've kind of got like a wardrobe and a chest of drawers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hit and miss. Like some people prefer to hang their kids' clothes and other people prefer to fold it. Do you?
We're opposite. I like to Marie Kondo everything. He hangs everything. Like he'll hang every drawers. Football shirt. And I'm like, seems like such a waste of time.
Yeah. The football stuff because it doesn't need to be ironed.
No, exactly.
It's so easy to shove it in.
I used to put it all in the drawer and you had a savage room and you hung all these football shirts.
Yeah, well, we got a smaller chest of drawers.
So we did run out
of a bit of space.
Yeah.
But I'd sooner like just put it in a drawer, but he loves to hang everything, don't you?
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's all right.
Just because we don't iron as well.
We're not fans of that.
As long as you're hanging it and not leaving it and expecting it to be hung, you're all right.
Yeah. No, he is.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But under the bed storage is great because especially if you're buying a new bed, I think to get an ottoman bed or whatever.
Always drawers.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's like literally a whole other load of storage, isn't it?
I love that because as soon as you lift it, you can see everything.
Yeah, that's
whereas if it's just under the bed, you just can't really see it, so it doesn't exist.
No, that's true, actually. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah,
well, just baskets. I mean, Jackson's room as well. We did those hung ones.
But we've got a few baskets just in Fraser's room. Yeah. And obviously, he's a teenager, but it's so handy. He does just chuck stuff in.
It's like junk drawers, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like something to
It feels organized.
And you get nice lidded ones now as well, so I don't even need to see what's in there.
Oh, that's good. And just while we're talking about teenagers, have you got any tips for their rooms because they are such like in-betweeners?
I know, it's so hard, isn't it? I think for little kids, you end up putting like canopies, bean bags and stuff in there. It's a little bit easier. But for the older ones, I think they're definitely more in tune with wanting it to be more like them and their personality to shine through. Like for girls especially, we're still putting in, like they love to hang photos up with all their friends. I remember doing that as a kid.
Yeah, totally.
So we put like pin boards and like the fairy light strings that they clip the photos onto. I think they want it to be more personalised.
Yes.
And like, it's just, there's no, they're more grown up still.
Uh-huh.
You still want them to, again, it's got to grow with them.
Mm.
But yeah, it's just, it's having that kind of teenage twist with wallpapers and stuff. I don't know, it's just
that
less.
That makes sense though, because they are literally working out their identity.
Exactly.
So I guess it makes sense that they want to show who they are because they're still working it out themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And things like desks are great in teenage kids' rooms, because even if they're not doing the homework up there, they still can go up there and have a sit down. And
Fraser, as he's got older, he uses it more and more, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And we took away the PC because actually he does everything on a tablet and he's got more space because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all about colours as well for older kids, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of steering away from the primary colours and you're going more richer, deeper.
Yeah,
like a bit more
earthy
grown up.
But again, you still add in the accessories because they still want to have nice posters on the wall that reflect themselves.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to have to do Caleb's fairly soon, which is heartbreaking.
Because it's honestly my favourite room in the house.
Yeah.
He's got this teepee bed. But he's never said anything about it. I think we've got a few more years.
But it's just the second
single
thing.
It's just a single bed as well, isn't it?
It's like, you think it's like a big single.
Yeah.
But I love his room. But yeah, I think he might, outgrow it in a bit. I wonder if I could just swap Jackson for
Caleb. Just if he brings a girl round and he's got a tent bed. It's like,
got a TV bed.
I mean, he's only 11, so like
a
few years off of that.
Yeah. But by then, we would have had a good few years of it.
Out of it.
Yeah.
That'd be one of those moments where I'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe we're getting rid of it.
Yeah.
You don't want to pull those stickers off the wall.
Yeah. I feel like Fraser's room is like, it is quite grown up now, but he's got like his dartboard.
Yes.
And like those bits that still make it a teenager. Yeah.
And he wants to be in there as well. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, his friends come around and they hang out down here a bit, but then it's like a nice
off to your room now.
Bench seat, isn't it, as well? So it's got
when does that kind of happen with like tellies and stuff in rooms? Because I don't know, I'm not ready for that.
I mean, we've sat quite a lot on here, but that's our rule, is we don't have them.
No.
Yeah, but only because we never did as kids.
No.
Like, it was very much like the bedroom was for sleeping.
Yeah.
So we never had, but we do have a projector. So if they want to watch films upstairs, we'll like project it onto the wall. Yeah. So we've got like the, the white cloth that you put up.
Yes.
And
it's like a bit of like movie night upstairs, like hiding.
And then it's like novel.
Yeah. Like, that is one of our questions actually on our questionnaire, is whether they want TV or not in their kids' room, even playrooms. Because you'd immediately just assume, chuck a telly in there. But a lot of people.
Yeah, of course.
To be fair, in theirs, they've got one for gaming.
Yeah.
But they're not massive gamers, are they? They will have it. I'd probably say twice a week they'd probably go and play on a game in there. It's not every day. I don't think the TV was essential in theirs. But
you've got your pool table in there as well, haven't you?
That's amazing. Especially when friends come over. Yeah.
Funny like what they discover when friends come around, isn't it? It's like, you never play with that toy. Why go and get
it
now? It's
like, you're thinking about getting rid of it. And then you're like, oh, not yet.
Yeah. You know when you're bored and you're like, I don't know what to do. That's always been there. Like, why don't you play with it?
Exactly. Different with your
mates. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So going on to like more grown up spaces, but still keeping it family friendly. What's your best advice for making a home both stylish and kid friendly?
It's really difficult.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say now is a lot of, especially like sofa companies, are catching on to the fact that people want to have, that protective layer like over.
Practical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what we find now is a lot of sofa companies, in their actual fabrics, when they're making the fabric, they put the stain resistant like film on it.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not just sprayed on at the end.
No, it's actually part of it.
So so that makes a big difference. And that then opens up a lot of different choices. So you're not just narrowed down to, you've got to have this one because it's got the stain resistant on it.
So we don't have to live with froze over our sofa
all
the
time. No, you don't have to live with froze over your sofa. And things like what we did with yours, wooden tables, because you want to have that look with wood, but it's not always so practical. So then you just get a glass top made to go on top.
Yeah.
But it is really difficult. Yeah. I think that, you kind of have to have a slight thought process of, that might have to change in 5 years' time when my toddlers are no longer toddlers. But the stain-resistant side of it is really helpful.
So when they're really, really young as well. Yeah. We had a sofa from Next, didn't we?
Yeah, we literally hung onto it for like 12 years because we might as well.
It was it wasn't velour, but it was slightly velour. Like, so it was the most unpractical sofa for having kids. Yeah. We got it just before I think we had them. It's like, do you know what? Let's go
It'll
with
be
it.
Fine.
Yeah. And then just become like a drawing board.
Yeah. Really, we didn't think of it.
No.
But in the end, we were like chucking out. It was, I actually gave birth on it. It was just crazy. Like, this couch has been through so much.
We actually just changed our sofa at home, and our other one was nearly 10 years old. But we had that same mentality. It was like, we won't change it yet because.
No. Yeah.
What's kids gonna just happen ruin to things, it? Right?
And they are such an investment. Like, it's such a huge.
But now, that shouldn't stop you from getting a new one because you can have the practical side of it with it also.
Yeah.
But we were saying it's hilarious if that sofa could talk, like what it's saying.
The gossip.
The conversations that have been had on that sofa.
Okay. And then in terms of budget friendly tips, do you have any, like, say if you just want to like refresh your children's room, is there a way to do it that doesn't cost an absolute fortune?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'll come back to like accessories. You know, you can get posters and frames now, really budget friendly. Mm-hmm. Even things like paint on walls, like, again, colour drenched, but you can also do like the half painted walls all the way around, feature walls, no-no anymore, guys. Okay, no more feature walls. Unless it's a mural or something, that's fine. But yeah, you could like just do a quick paint halfway around the room. Wall decals, so the stickers.
Oh, yeah.
They
yes.
make a big... They,
yeah, we've
just
got...
Easy
what, impact. Live, laugh, love, all that?
No.
That's a no-no. Yeah.
But, you know, you can get like, I don't know, if it's a farm theme or even flowers.
Mrs.
Like,
Finch has that, doesn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it's yeah. cool. Aww. But that's like a quick fix as well and easily changed
and so
over time. Yeah, and they're not expensive.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
just quickly change
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's a really yeah. good tip.
And lighting also. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get really playful ones now, like animals. I know Jackson had a monkey. And
yeah, we still have it. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
But little things like that, that again, don't have to cost a lot. Dunelm. Like their lighting range is amazing and it's not expensive.
Yeah.
But yeah, just little things like that. Not changing the core furniture, just accessories.
Yeah.
Give it a little revamp.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit like fashion,
really,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can dress things up.
Or like a throw, a new throw.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But also with that, like the same with fashion to a sense, you can spend more on certain items and not on others and then blend the two. So then you're still getting that desired look, but you haven't broken the bank by buying everything from the more expensive place.
It
makes a difference.
To wrap up, we've got a couple of questions. What's been your most memorable children's room design and why?
Oh,
that is a tough.
That's
one.
Hard because you've done a lot.
Done a lot. Yeah.
Caleb's room.
Yeah.
That's kind of
right answer.
Because we were just saying how much we liked it.
No, I did love Caleb's room.
Like, I don't know if you're just listening to this and you haven't seen it on YouTube. I felt that it touched on so many because I'm Canadian.
Yes,
so it's like
it.
A real Canadian feel to it. But then it's also very him.
Yeah,
there's so much.
It's super cool.
Yeah,
yeah, and all the colours and everything look really nice. There is another one though.
What
in
cut this
a
bit
client
out.
In Austria, and it
do.
Was a house bed. But her husband was a carpenter, so he literally implemented it to the T.
Wow.
And it was, it was like underneath was a den, then the top was a bed. But then it even had like an extra little room to it that had like cushions in and was more like a little snug bit.
Wow.
And then the bottom had like a round little seat that you could sit in, and then bookshelves. It was just so cool.
Amazing.
And he did do a little bit of other things to it as well, which I hadn't have said by it, but it did. It looked really cool.
Is this on your Instagram?
It is on my Instagram, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. No, it looked really cool. But I can't, it's so difficult to choose. Like every single design we do is different, but we don't ever want to repeat it.
Yeah,
exactly. Every person is different. So, we love them all, really.
Yeah. It's nice.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, is very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is the one thing you wish people knew more about interior design?
Virtual interior design specifically, that it's more affordable. I think there is still that element, like you just touched on, that people think that it's out of reach, and it's actually not. And also, even though I have said that, you know, these designs are there to use at your disposal, I'd still say you need to trust the interior designer, go with what they're telling you. You've like employed them for a reason.
Yeah.
So, I would say run with what they're telling you.
Because I'd like to say I've got an eye for design for interiors.
I think you have,
But I feel like you need someone, probably like you maybe do with your house, like you've got your mum around, like you need someone to make those decisions for you.
For
and like,
sure,
we didn't necessarily have a style. I just felt like I knew what I liked and what I didn't like. But then, Abby went away, and like especially with the kids' bedrooms, that's when we realised, and just it's like things we would never have thought of.
No.
You think like you know what colours you like and what furniture you might like,
yeah.
but
yeah.
being able to get someone, pay someone to just to put it all together, in which for you is probably a few hours work
yeah, exactly.
compared to like yeah. for us it'd be.
And there's so much choice now,
yeah. yeah.
So it's narrowing that down and just yeah. like making a final
that's
decision.
As you like look at it every day,
yeah.
all day, you're just closer to yeah. what's good and what's well, on trend.
Professional. Living on Pinterest.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But you do, every client's different. Like you do get some clients that literally have no idea what they want. Mm. So you're having to play a little bit of like...
What do you prefer? Someone that hasn't got a clue or someone that knows what they want?
Hasn't got a clue can be a bit dangerous.
Yeah. Because
yeah. like, then it's just like,
no, yeah. And in the end, they did have a clue, but they
yeah,
didn't know it.
Yeah.
So then they're like, oh no, actually that isn't anything. I mean, that's very rarely happened, but
yeah.
that isn't anything that we wanted. So
yeah.
no, I definitely, well, part of the process for us is inspiration images is like a big thing.
To be honest,
we won't actually do the design without them anymore because it's...
Yeah, you need a bit of a clue because
exactly.
it is that I don't know what I want, but I know what I don't want.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you're not meeting them either. Like when
it's like
I was
being married.
Yeah,
it's exactly that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, when I was like a normal interior designer, you're going into people's homes, you're getting to know them, you're physically seeing, you know, how they live and stuff. Whereas the virtual side, you're having to get to know them via conversation and the questionnaire. So the inspiration images is a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, did you want to do some of the viewers' questions?
I've got a few viewers' questions.
Yeah, we've got a few from our followers. Yeah.
Okay, if we were redoing a bathroom today, what colour hardware should we go for?
I'm going to throw this one out there, but you can actually mix it up.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's a new thing also. So, you know, you have a bit of brushed nickel, a little bit of bronze,
yeah.
bit of
yeah,
brass.
Yeah, we've done it.
Yeah.
With the black and
yeah, it's
bronze.
Nice. It makes a difference. Mm-hmm. But... definitely, I'd say avoid black where possible because it's very difficult to keep clean.
Yeah.
You know, water stains just are on there.
Well, we've got that in two of the bathrooms and the kitchen. We get asked that a lot.
Yeah.
But we've got a water softener.
Softener, yeah, makes a difference, yeah. Yeah.
No, actually, I think we've got a water conditioner. I think there's a difference. But I don't know if we had space for water softener, but they say that is vital not have hard water if you're going to keep
it clean.
It
looks really nice. And I think you could have a touch of it. But brushed nickel is my favourite.
Right. You've just done carpet, actually, at home as well. So tips for choosing the right carpet. Such an expensive thing to get wrong.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we've put wool in ours. You had wool as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think it is personal opinion.
Yeah.
But... yeah, it depends on the style of the house. Wool is definitely my favourite.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then a loop pile as well, which is really nice.
Yeah.
People get fearful over it with like moths and things like that. But again, I think they're made now with these repellents in them that that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But grab a load of samples.
Yeah.
See what you prefer. I don't really like velvet piles because it leaves the marks in the carpet, but many people still really like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, load of samples and then make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, controversial one. Should a sink be put in a kitchen island?
No.
No. No. Just no.
So we don't
just
have no. one.
No,
there is a hard way.
Yeah,
we had one in our previous
yeah,
home.
Because then you naturally, busy family, you're piling up your dirty dishes around
the
sink
island.
Or in the sink and then, you're sat at the island and you're sat with it.
Yeah.
So no.
Yeah.
Even the oven, I'd say try and avoid
We didn't put a hob on the island, which I know is like one that some people like because they like the whole social cooking if you've got guests around. So I do kind of understand that they want to be facing. And if you've always got people sat at the island...
You can get the extractor fans in the hobs now.
Yeah,
so you don't need to have the horrible hood above your
but
head.
But I still like the way that it's just tucked away so the island is left clean.
I agree.
If you're
I always
frying.
Felt like if we were using the sink, it was splashing everywhere on the island as well. I just like I was forever
constantly
cleaning it.
Trying to wipe it up.
It wasn't
no, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. And
put the interior world to right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so where can people find out? I know we said about Instagram. Is that the best place to
Instagram,
see
Instagram, We've got two. So the home side is Ginger Nest Interiors and the kids side is Ginger Nest Interiors _kids. Kept them separate.
Yeah.
I sometimes regret that when I'm having to manage two accounts.
Yeah, that's true.
Also our website, which is gingernestinteriors.com. That's got lots of information on there. But obviously always ask questions. If anyone's got any questions, DM or send a contact through the website page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, amazing. And we always ask everyone, especially if you're a mum, what is one thing you wish you'd known before becoming a parent?
Oh, God, it's such a difficult one, isn't it?
I know.
There's so many things. I mean, I know it's cliche, but I wish when you're in that moment of being a mum with young kids, like the days are so long, but my God, do the years go so quick.
Yeah.
Like my eldest is nearly 10 and it's just flown by. Mm-hmm. And now actually, because I had kids quite young, my friends are only just starting to have children. Mm. And it's funny because I feel like I want to say so much to them.
Yeah, but you don't want to be that annoying person.
No, exactly. Yeah. You have to just think. And actually, I've got some friends that haven't had kids and I feel like I have to be really careful not to go down that, because everyone just moans all the time, don't they? Like, oh, I did this, and oh, I'm so tired, and oh, this, that, and the other. And I think you have to be really careful not to do that, because you're going to put them off. But yeah, I would just say enjoy.
Yeah.
Try and enjoy every moment.
Yeah.
Because it goes so fast.
It really does. Yeah. I know. I feel I'm doing the same even online. I'm wanting to say, oh, enjoy it. Especially, you know, my eldest is like teenager now. I'm like, oh, you don't know how lucky you are. But that's also really annoying if you're right in it with like sore nipples and, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
No sleep. It does get a bit much sometimes.
I think well, it's like even now my oldest, he started to, you know, well, he's been doing it for a while, but he knows what he wants to wear.
Yes.
And, you know, we're going to a nice restaurant. You're not to wear that football kit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas when they're little,
they're
just
like, okay,
dress
mommy.
And they look so cool. Like, and now it's all shifted. And
it is hard letting go, but you've got to give them that independence at the same time. But you also need to learn that when you go to somewhere like that, this is probably what you should wear.
Yeah.
And it's like, or they'll look back and say, like, why did you let me wear a football kit to that restaurant? It's like christening.
Exactly. Like, I couldn't be bothered that day. Yeah. Didn't want to argue.
Exactly. I was picking my battles. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, and obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, put any comments down below for Abby as well. And if you're listening to this, then don't forget to rate, review, follow wherever you listen to it. And thank you so much for watching. We will see you guys in our next episode.
Bye.
See ya.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.